Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Brianna Jones.
And welcome to a Musicals with Cheese bonus episode where I do other fun things. And today, Brie, we have one of the coolest people ever. I'm actually shocked they're with us today, honestly. Joining us is the artistic and repertoire director of Broadway Records, a comedian, writer, director, singer, and the only one to sing Meadowlark better than Patti LuPone. It's Robbie Roselle. Please tell me I said it correctly.
You did say it correctly. And yes, I sing the definitive Meadowlark.
I agree.
It's weird.
And there's
frankly.
One thing about your singing that I really appreciate that I don't see a lot of people do, especially in their albums.
Flats?
You act the songs.
Thank you.
You actually perform the songs in a way that it is a performance, and there is a character there and a story where a lot of people are like, I'm defying gravity. Let's go.
Honestly, if I had the kind of voice where I could just bust out a fucking riff and just, you know, whatever, I would do that. But I, as an aging character actress, can only rely on the acting side.
I mean, you nail the acting side in a way where you're also like, oh yeah, he's singing it great too. Like, it's like the best of both worlds. As much as I love a lot of Broadway stars' official albums, I wish they would still perform the songs as if they were performing the songs and not just singing.
Act it. And, you know, when we created my album, a lot of it was like, so much of what I do is physical and like, you see it and you're like, oh, that's good. That's funny. And so when we were trying to figure out what that was going to be for a listening experience, that was a journey. It was a process.
Well, you did it live, which was very effective because you get the audience reactions, whether we see it or not. We know something good's going on. I think specifically during Little Girls and the Captain Hook song, that mix up, I think that really sells the most. And you pick songs that not many people are singing. So anytime I'm like, thank God someone's putting this out there.
Babe, I live in that golden age, and I just can't sing a Jonathan Reed Gelt song. Like, I could try, but nobody wants to hear it. You know what I mean?
You're not just going to pull out the Still Hurting and all that?
Jason wishes, honestly. Jason said, what if you just sang Still Hurting? And I said, you would be.
Yes, we would all be better off. I feel like none of us needs to hear Still Hurting ever again. Aww. I feel like as a theater community, like we've grown beyond Still Hurting as a song.
Well, Jamie is over.
Yeah, he's canceled. Hashtag
he's
canceled.
Oh, wow.
Jamie is canceled and Jamie is gone.
Oh, what if somebody rewrote it?
Jason Robert Brown would sue.
Probably. I don't think he was happy when I mashed up Still Hurting and I Can't Make You Love Me for Jessica Bosk. Because he doesn't like his stuff tampered with. And while I respect it, it
get off
mean
your
I'm
high
not
horse.
Do it.
I'll say it. I'm afraid of no one here. I don't have a career.
I never did, frankly. So
I disagree. You are a very well respected pillar of the community, sir.
Like a pillar of salt.
All right, Robbie, what are we doing today? Because we actually have something on the agenda.
Yeah, we do. This is, and I'm so sorry in advance for all of this, but you and I were sort of just like tweeting back and forth about something, and it turned into, what if we just talked about conspiracy theories of musicals?
Yes.
And it was born out of me just randomly tweeting, you know, that Shuler Helmsley's what's that character's name in The Music Man?
Marcellus.
Marcellus,
you know,
is, yes.
You know, yes, that his Marcellus like kills Ethel Teufelmeyer.
Yes. Which is such a brilliant addition that makes total sense within the characters.
Because, like, you know, his Shapoopy is like, Shapoopy, Shapoopy, the girl is hard to kill. Like, that's what it is, right?
Yeah,
so
it's about,
we have concocted and made sort of a BuzzFeed listicle, if you will, of our alleged conspiracies.
Yes, 100%. And some of them are darker than others, some of them are funner than others, and a lot of them are basically just jokes.
So listen, all of this should be taken with a pillar of salt.
Ah, taken with a Robbie.
We call it a callback in comedy.
How about I start this one? Because we're on The Music Man, and this is a popular one, but it was literally my headcanon as a child watching it.
I guarantee we have the same one.
Okay, so maybe we're it. Marion is 100% Winthrop's biological mom. She is 1
million percent.
She is not the sister.
No. And the father is the guy who owned the library.
Yeah, Madison.
The whole town is named after this dude.
And he was definitely prying after young women. She was going to his house late at night, and she just came up with a good excuse to hide her young lover that died.
She's, first of all, one, the Sutton Foster casting bears this out, because Sutton Foster is 900 years old, and there's no way that she's got a 9-year-old brother. No, she's like in her late 40s, right? And whoever's playing her mother is in her late 60s.
Let's say, kind.
Even a change of life baby is not Winthrop, right? So. No. That whole town is looking askance, but they're very, like, mean to her because they're like, ooh, you got in the family way, and we know that your mom is grandma.
Yes.
That is 100%. It's, like, factual,
That might as well be text at this point as opposed to subtext.
Yes. Yes. Now, when you have a younger Marion, like when Barbara Cook played it originally.
Or when Kristen Chenoweth stepped in
when
the early
When she belted
aughts.
My White Knight. Yeah. I just pulled out that album the other day and I was like, oh, right. She belts the end of this. And that's
a
fascinating choice.
There's
right?
a lot of choices in that movie adaptation.
Most of them are strong and wrong. But
speaking of that, they cut out the entire Miser Madison subplot from that movie adaptation. Mm. That is never really a thing because Disney...
Mm, probably also for time, because they have like
it's still two and a half hours. Like, time wise, it's
commercials,
like,
etc.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, it was on Wonderful World of Disney. Who knows? Unclear why, but that was also my number one conspiracy that Marion the Librarian for sure is Winthrop's son. Nope.
you were there.
Mother.
You were there. Yes.
Do you think that she named Winthrop, or was she just like, did she hand him over? Oh, is Miser Madison's first name Winthrop?
No. I think their father's name was Winthrop. So I think he is.
I see.
I think that was added in
Winthrop
there.
Winthrop is named after his grandfather.
Yes. Big eyebrow raised there.
Huge. Yeah. Hmm. But that's fascinating. The Music Man is fascinating.
It is. I'm not sure it needs a dozen more revivals, but I love that movie, and there's a lot to talk about with it.
Yeah, I love The Music Man. I think it's a really well-constructed musical. And actually, you know, there's a conspiracy that Frank Lesser wrote parts of The Music Man.
Yes. Isn't that why Being in Love is in the movie and My White Knight wasn't?
I don't know, because one of Barbara Cook's albums, she sings an alternate version of My White Knight that Meredith Willson wrote that's got a very long verse and almost nothing of like the song that we know from the show. I don't know if that's the reason. My only proof is no other Meredith Wilson score is as good as The Music Man. And frankly, like, the law of diminishing returns of Meredith Wilson musicals is like wonderful, pretty good. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
And just the bottom's out.
Everything else.
Mm-hmm. Please sing anything from 1491 if you could.
Nope, I could barely sing anything from the unsingable Molly Brown.
Oh, well, she ain't down yet.
Yeah, not quite yet. but have you ever listened to the album And Then I Wrote the Music Man?
No, I have read the book.
Okay, so the album is incredible because it's Meredith Wilson and his wife, mm-hmm. Rainey Wilson,
oh, sure.
who wrote the music together, wrote the musical together, and they're going, like, it feels like they're just drinking with their friends, and they're like, we're explaining every single song and how they tie in together,
yeah.
how you can play Sadder But Wiser Girl and My White Knight together,
oh.
how literally every single one of the main songs are meant to be played counterintuitive, and they only do it twice with, like, the obvious one, Goodnight My Someone in 76 Trombones,
sure.
and Light a Rose and Will I Ever,
Will
Tell,
ever
him?
Tell Him.
But the interesting thing is My White Knight, Sadder But Wiser Girl, and then they sing it at the same time, and I'm like, oh, that does fit. My God, it's such a brilliant album, great for, like, most up-and-coming Broadway composers to listen to just to hear, like, people discuss the creative process in the olden days, because there's not much of that out there. And it just is interesting, which is why I don't like being in love in the movie at all.
No. Also, I don't love Shirley Jones in the film. Like, I like her, but
right.
I don't think that she's a match for what Robert Preston is doing.
No, she fits much more in the Oklahoma Carousel
mm-hmm.
box.
I mean, literally, she was just like, I am Rodgers and Hammerstein's bitch for film. and then, but the something about her in The Music Man just doesn't work the way it should. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's slightly better than Kristen Chenoweth, who I also love.
Oh, poor Chrissy Dawn.
Not right in that role.
Oh. And Deb Monk is her mom. That's a lot of stuff happening in that film.
Yeah, and not much Vic Good.
No. Molly Shannon, right. though. Let's give Molly it up for Shannon. Molly Shannon.
Victor Garber.
Sure. He also is in that film.
He is not doing the right performance for that role, but he is definitely in that film.
They truly were like, hey, Castavani, could you just come on over here? I got a thing. And Alan Cumming's like, I have to go, right? And
Audra McDonald is like, oh, I'm Marion. No.
And she's like,
that would have been better.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Yeah, I don't know if I would love an Audra Marin either, honestly. Frankly, I would love to listen to an album of Audra and Stokes, like, singing The Music Man.
Yes.
There it is.
Or Norm Lewis. He was also very good when he did Harold.
I bet. And I bet Jesse Mueller was fantastic opposite him.
Yep. Why wasn't that brought to Broadway? I know why.
Well.
Money.
Mr. Rudin already had the rights, and he threw a stapler to get it.
How's that holding up for him? Is he doing well right now?
Who knows? Honestly, he probably looks like Robert Durst at this point.
Talking to himself, talking about the murders while peeing.
What did I do? Threw a fax machine at them, of course. Right? In the dark.
I killed Beetlejuice, of course. how about we talk about the next conspiracy? You got one, Robbie?
I do. I believe that in Into the Woods, the narrator is actually the son of the baker.
Okay. There have been some productions, like the Regent's Park production, that literally lean into that.
Well, do they lean into that being the son of the baker, or do they lean into that being like, this is a child's bedtime
story? No. The specific one with Hannah Waddingham leans into that being the baker's son, and that's the twist.
Interesting. I didn't see it in the park here. I wish I had. Donna Murphy tells me stories about it, but I believe that that is how it was originally conceived. And then they were like, maybe one thing too many. But it's what makes the most sense. And that also means that Tom Aldridge plays his own grandfather in the show.
Skips a generation, you know? It makes sense, and I follow the logic. Does that mean he also dies and get eaten by the giant and, like, this snake eating its own ass kind of thing?
Honestly, Into the Woods needs more. And so, why not? It's really fascinating to me that is like a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that at one point they were like, this show is about parents and children, because so is Sunday in the Park with George. Mothers and sons. And so...
And passion's just about fucking.
But why not? Honest and good. Good. They said, Donna Murphy's got a mole. Mothers and sons. It logically makes sense. And then he does reappear at the end in the finale. They all do.
I mean, yeah.
Everybody comes back. Ghosts? Unclear. Who knows? It's just, for me, dramaturgically, it makes it cleaner, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd make it the literal a child representation. I like the Tom Aldridge version.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen productions where, like, it's done as if the director is playing the narrator. And when the,
I don't love that.
When they kill off the director in Act Two, scenery just starts moving on its own and stuff.
Oh, someone saw Pippin. Got it.
Diane Paulus is Pippin. Right. but sort of like it's chess pieces, right? And there's 100 different ways to stage Into the Woods, but that's the one that would intrigue me most because it's very much about passing stories down.
I agree. That's a great, great conspiracy. And you know what? I agree with it. I am in agreement with that there. I see no holes in it whatsoever. And I am willing to look at the show from that lens for the rest of time and forever, except for the movie. The movie just bad.
Oh, yeah. It's not Chris Pine knew what he was doing. Like, he understood the assignment.
Yeah, yeah. He was more Captain Kirk in that than when he played Captain Kirk.
And what a gift, honestly, for when he ripped his bodice open to sing Part of Agony. And we all said,
yes,
sure,
please.
Sure. Rob Marshall really just looked at that film and said, more blue. And just made it all
blue, 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 blue. He was listening to Sunday in the Park with.
Yeah. Oh, God, that makes sense.
Let's move on. I've got one for you. And this is one we posited on our podcast many times. I subscribe to it. My co-host Andrew has created it. And I agree with it entirely. All Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals take place in the same universe.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All building up to Cats, which is the post-apocalypse where it's like human-cats hybrids running around the world.
Now, it builds to Cats or does it build to Starlight Express?
Starlight Express comes before Cats. Cats exist in Starlight Express. Starlight Express is about a child playing with trains.
Sure. To me, it's about Matchbox Cars. But I think that Starlight Express is the sort of evolution of Cats because there's no humans really in Starlight Express because you never see the kid. He's like a voiceover.
Yes.
And so all that's left are these like animatronic. It's sort of like Wall-E.
Toy Story. Or I imagine more like Toy Story to stay in the Pixar range.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
They're all alive through the eyes of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't have like the kid's making up rules as it goes. That musical's bad because no rules, no consistency. There's no logic to it. So it feels child logic. The kid's like, I want this guy to win, so I don't care that he didn't win any of the other races. I'm just gonna make him win here.
To be fair, what logic in any of the Lloyd Webber shows?
Evita has its own logic. I will.
Sure. You know what? The Tim Rice led shows have a semblance of plots, right? Cats is really just Britain's Got Talent to kill off a cat.
Yes. Phantom has Hal Prince's handles all over it, mm-hmm. so it works. Mm-hmm. And then the rest.
And Sunset has the blueprint of a film.
Yeah, Sunset had a very good film that it took everything good from.
Yes. Straight down to like snatches of dialogue.
School of Rock, who cares? Does anyone have a strong opinion, negative or positive, about School of Rock?
Could not sing a song from it.
I could, but why would I?
And again, as an aging character actress, I could play, presumably, what's his name? Dewey?
Yeah.
Sure. Jack Black. Could play Jack Black. Oh, God, I'm going to have Alex Brightman's career, except I'm not going to work.
It's going to suck, because Alex Brightman has Alex Brightman's career.
He works. It's, you know, when you realize your fate as you're staring into a stream yard in real time, it's not going well for me, kids.
I have to talk to these guys. My Tuesday's ruined. I will never be Alex Brightman. Alex Brightman wouldn't talk to these two.
No, he probably would. He would. He's a bright monster. He would.
If you say so. So, do you subscribe to that conspiracy theory? All Weber musicals are the same universe.
So, tell me how, because the one sort of quibble I have with that is, how does Evita live within that universe? How do all of them live within this sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Okay, so we're going to go all the way back to, like, 35 AD to when Jesus was killed, which just happens
normally.
You're going
back even further, because Joseph...
Oh, yeah, Joseph, way back many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began. that happened. We stand by it. It happened. Then Jesus happened.
Sure.
And then Evita happens the way it does in our reality, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, didn't stray too far from the path of how our reality happened. She just sang a bunch more songs.
She just kept, they were like, okay, now you modulate.
Yep. Eight times a week.
Put
no
on
breaks.
This feather and sing it up a tone. Yeah.
And then I feel like that's the easiest one to scoot in, because then you've got the Sunset Boulevards of the world, and we just follow chronologically through that.
I see.
And into
straight
School of
up
Rock
to
and
Cats.
All that. All the way up to Cats, which is after the world has ended and all that. And maybe Starlight Express comes after that. I still subscribe to the fact that.
What if Cats and Starlight Express actually happen at the same time in the junkyard?
I'm into it.
And sort of like, if you turn this way, Cats. And if you turn this way, those little model trains that are just left in the junkyard.
And nobody's having a good time in the theater, especially not Elaine Stritch.
Just hot Joseph, who's like moving a train around because he's the only human left.
Yeah, taking control by the Cats. Yep, it is our thing. See, a thing like Sondheim stuff, there's too much variety there.
Sure.
Where, like, assassins can't really happen in the same world as Into the Woods. Lloyd Webber really has a vibe that...
Yeah.
Samey.
Also, you can sort of interchange a lot of those songs, a la Jerry Herman.
Yes.
Right? But you're right. Steve Sondheim songs, you can't go... Let's just grab Pretty Lady from Pacific Overtures and plop it right down smack in the middle of a funny thing happening on the way to the forum.
You know, it fits in just about as well as Lovely.
Aww.
Lovely, I heard out of context, like sung at a concert, so seeing it in context was the funniest thing I had ever seen.
Because remember that terrible review putting it together? And I'm not talking the Julie Andrews version of putting it together.
You're talking about the Carol Burnett.
The Broadway one. Yes.
Yeah.
Where suddenly Ruthie Henschel's like singing but not opening her mouth and it's just teeth. And she's singing Lovely at John Barrowman, who's not looking at her.
There's a lot of choices made in that production.
So many little chairs. Things happened. Okay.
I cannot sit through that entire... DVD, as sad as that is. And I love those songs.
Yeah, choices. I will stop and watch Ruthie Henschel sing more every day of my life. That's fine. But that's why God invented YouTube and then invented Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
In that order?
Yes, so that we could watch them occasionally.
Only watch scenes of them.
Yeah, so that we can go... Definitively, I know who the best Norma Desmond was, right? That's what the homosexuals do.
Who is the best Norma Desmond, Robbie?
Fucking Buckley.
You're right.
Because she would kill you if I said any other name.
You're right. Not a Patty fan.
I love Patty. I have worked with Patty a few times. And she is lovely to me. And I think like 10 years later, she would have been ideal. I also don't think the musical was finished when she was in the show. And frankly, like, do you eat a cookie? No, I would eat a cookie that was half-baked.
I'm about to say, it's going to be squishy. It'd be great.
Right? But like, do you dip into a cake halfway through the baking time? No.
No.
You need to let it rise and cool so that you can put on that fucking buttercream and go to town. But they did not do that. And so that was a lot of the problem. Betty Lynn, however, she got the full force of the show and the voice to go with it and was able to hold that home that nobody had done before. And that
chef's kiss.
I cannot disagree in any way. But Patti LuPone has a very bad habit of some, not a habit, just thing that happened in her life, mm-hmm. luck of starring in the London production of something that was very underbaked and being the first one and then it moving to bigger and better things. And people tend to forget she created it.
I don't think they tend to forget because she won't let them.
How often does she really be like, I was the original Fantine?
Oh, no. What's her damn line? I couldn't take it to New York because I had done it with the perfect cast, in the perfect show, in the perfect place. I dreamed a dream and thing gone by. Right? Like, that she was her, not, that's her shtick.
Yeah, she did not, she is not the ideal Fantine.
Frankly, was Randy Graff.
I'm not saying she was. I don't think we had an ideal Fantine until 20 years after that show opened.
You are not wrong.
It wasn't Anne Hathaway either.
No. Although, like, it wasn't Casey Levy, because what was her Fantine? Fantine with Obamacare? You're not dying. You're fine. Your hair will grow back.
Oh, God.
The healthiest I've ever seen. It was like watching Karen Olivia in Moulin Rouge. What are you dying from?
You make some very compelling points over here,
Thank
Robbie.
Thank you so much.
I almost died. You were about to be my cause of death written on my birth certificate right there.
What, on your birth certificate? The death cause of
certificate.
Death. What a dream, honestly.
All right. Do you have another conspiracy?
Do I? Yes. Leona Helmsley is Maureen's mother in Rent, and she owns all the buildings.
I love it.
Shall I back it up?
Happy yes, to. Please.
Great. Maureen comes from money.
Of course. Everyone in Rent comes from money. They don't like you to remember that, but they do.
No. And as you get older, you're just like as a viewer and as somebody who was in many times for Rent and never got it because boy band members always booked Mark. It's fine. Am I bitter? Absolutely. I can say, watching the show as a soon-to-be 45-year-old, I go, why don't they just fucking pay their rent?
Yes. Like, as a 20-year-old who is living their lives right now against my will,
right.
mm-hmm. it pisses me off.
Yes, you should absolutely steal the money from the ATM at the Food Emporium. Go! Right? But now I'm like, you're kind of a douche. So, Maureen comes from money, and that money is Leona Helmsley's money, and she owns all the buildings, and Benny doesn't own the building. He's the super. His job is to collect the rent. He's
doesn't
doing
his father
his job.
Own the buildings?
Let's say
father-in-law.
Mr. Helmsley.
Let's go.
Done. Sorted. Sold.
Okay. Uh-huh. We're gonna connect some dots right sure. here. So Maureen, mm-hmm. mother.
Yes. And Maureen obviously is acting out against Leona because if you've got all that money, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Sure.
So she married.
Well.
Her husband,
sure.
who is Mr. Gray,
sure.
who then gives birth to a woman named Allison, who Benny marries. So does that mean that Benny is Maureen's brother-in-law?
Benny is Maureen's brother-in-law. Yes, that works. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Wow. Guys, I think we cracked the code.
We did it.
Jonathan
did it.
Larson, who? Tick,
he would
tick,
be,
what?
Yes, he would be very upset of how we've tarnished his work.
He would hate me so much.
That's fine.
Yeah. Listen, it makes sense to me. Where's all this money coming from? Why can she afford to have all this equipment for her, like, one woman over the moon number?
Her experimental art piece in the
yes.
middle of the freezing New York.
Mm-hmm. But you've got, like, a speaker and microphones and stuff, and who's paying for that? I grew up then. I know what those cost. I bought this microphone for $20 on Amazon.com. That wasn't a thing in 1996.
I always assumed Joanne paid for it with her lawyer money.
I see. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they all come from money.
Yeah.
Oh, and bringing Randy Graff back into it. Never forget that she plays one of the mothers in Rent in the
You're
film.
You're right. You're right.
With Anna Deavere Smith.
Oui.
Wow.
Well, while we're talking about Rent, I subscribe to this. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. But I have a Rent conspiracy, too.
You also never got cast?
Look at me. I was made to be Mark.
Hi. Strong same. They maybe learned so much of that score. Friends, it doesn't always go in your favor. That's what I'm saying.
It all works out, though.
Sure, I'm semi-famous.
You're doing well, Robbie.
I mean, I live in a one-bedroom in
Astoria. You've met Patti LuPone. That's a pretty good life.
She used me as a footstool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's your conspiracy? Go.
All right, mine is Mark does eventually become a journalist, but he gets canceled on Twitter when they found out that he lied about being in a helicopter and that was shot down.
What are you, just stealing Hillary Rodham Clinton's life?
No, I'm stealing Brian Williams' life.
Yes, subscribe. Full stop. Wait, but what kind of journalism is he doing? Because
he like hosts a Dateline. He's like, I shot a bunch of riot footage when I was in my 20s. I was around for the AIDS movement. Like, he uses every single thing we see in Rent as a prop for himself to be better. Because of course he would. He's Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's like, I did everything. I went to Afghanistan. I was in a helicopter and we got shot down. And then they're like, no, you didn't. He's like, I am resigning from Dateline. And then Lester Holt takes over and he does some other show. And his daughter gets her butt eaten out on Girls.
I see.
That's an esoteric joke. That's a thinker.
Now, is his film ever screened on anything other than a sheet?
Oh god, no, that Windows Movie Maker project, that didn't get anywhere.
Not a Windows Movie Maker project, how dare you.
You've seen it, right?
Yes, multiple times. Didn't get cast.
It's a Windows Movie Maker project at best. I mean, I know, it's like he shot on 16mm. No.
It truly, like, that film looks like those bootlegs from the 80s when they had to sneak in a full fucking camcorder that was like bigger than a loaf of bread. And how are you getting that into the theater? I have a lot of questions about how bootlegs happened in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled for them. I'm thrilled to look at a blob of like white light and know that it's Jennifer Holliday singing And I'm Telling You.
Yes.
But I'm
questions. Very grateful to have any footage of Angela Lansbury in MAME.
Yes.
She should have been in that movie. That's a discussion for another day.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We talked about MAME on my podcast, Gay Card Revoked, because it's just wackadoodle, that film.
That musical is so good, though.
I
but people think
so
that musical is terrible because of that movie.
Because Lucy Ball is 9,000 years old. She's ovulating sand by the time that she's like that Patrick Dennis appears. And yet, they smear so much Vaseline on it that she just has a nostril. Like, she's a sequin with eyes. That's like all you see. MAME. I love that. I love MAME so much. And wow, Hollywood really did not do well by Jerry Herman.
No. Maybe we'll get a good Lacage film one day.
Yeah, The Birdcage happened, though.
The Birdcage has not aged as well as the musical Lacage has, in my opinion.
Interesting. Defend that opinion.
I have a huge issue with The Birdcage film because we spend about, I'd say around 50% of it focused on the Republican family, which just is nowhere near as fun or charming to watch. And they basically put them as the point of view character without having a comeuppance for the son at any point.
I see.
The son ever says that he's wrong. Whereas the musical, because I was expecting the musical to be like hella like worse than that, because I watched The Birdcage first. Mm-hmm. Love The Birdcage, no hate to it. And I'm like, the musical kind of gets the things I wanted out of it, where we focus basically entirely on the romance between the two fathers and the fun at the club, and the son eventually is like, I shouldn't have made you pretend to be something you weren't and all that.
I feel like that is a line that Dan Futterman says in The Birdcage at some point.
He says it to the Republican family.
Oh, right. He is saying, no, this is my family.
Yes. And he said, I'm sorry I lied to you, but he never apologizes to his dad or Nathan Lane.
How? You are very correct in that. Listen, the reason for the season of The Birdcage is Diane Wiest going, someone has to like me best.
I agree.
On my tombstone.
There is so much to love about that movie, but I think in today's environment, a Lacage film would probably hit the sanitated spots better.
Interesting. I just wonder if it would even get made.
Why, though? Those songs are so good.
Yes, I agree with you. Listen, it's a strong agree for me. I'm never going to go, you know who I dislike? Jerry Herman. I worship that man so much. I'm trying to get a little teary. I'm so sorry. I worked on the last Lacage cast album. But before that, the prior revival that nobody remembers happened with the guy from The Nanny who got fired, Daniel Davies.
Yes. And Gary Beach, right?
Right. Who won a Tony.
Who was incredible.
He was marvelous. And Daniel Davies, when I saw it, was wonderful. And Gavin Creel, like that cast was stacked.
That cast was great.
Robin,
one of the best bootlegs.
It was excellent. Anyway, I was at Drama Bookshop earlier that day and bought a book of Jerry Herman lyrics, like a hardcover, and it came with a CD of Michael Feinstein sort of crooning some cut songs. Sure, why not? but then, like, I got to the theater, you know, and that theater is like an airport lounge. It's garbage. The Marriott Marquis is where it played. I got in there and I looked down, and on the aisle, Jerry Herman. And if you don't think that I didn't make like a beeline out of my balcony seat, down a flight, down to him with a Sharpie and the book of lyrics, he inscribed it to me. He was so lovely. And I'd worked with him on a couple of things, like the Grand Tour cast album and stuff like that. I love Jerry Herman so much, but I just don't think that, I feel like if the film of Lacage got made now, it would just be a shrug. Because how do you market it? It's The Birdcage, but songs! I know. What a joy to be a buzzkill right here.
I mean, if you got the right cast, it would sell.
Who? Whomst? What are you going to put Andrew Rannells in a dress? I'm fine.
No, I'd probably put Andrew Rannells as like one of the other supporting roles. But I'm not. It's not a difficult role to sing. It's deceptively difficult to do it 8 times a week. But to do it once on a film set, you could probably hire some like Hollywood stars to do it once.
I do feel, though, that theater, Twitter, etc. would get very up in arms unless, like, a queer person were cast.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Like,
so
an actual...
Who is that? Matt
Titus
Bomer?
Burgess.
Titus Burgess.
I don't know. I just threw out the first name.
Living
out, like...
in the south of France with his drag club.
That would be so cool.
I mean, I have questions, but yes.
I mean, I don't care. Like, just play the relationship like it works, and
yes,
it will sell.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Like, what time frame does that take place in? Like, is there a specific time?
I believe when they did it, it was the present. So, like, the 70s, 80s, because there aren't cell phones.
Right.
And, like, now... they would give these people a goog before they were like, let's go meet the parents, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it has to be specifically like 70s.
The point is they tell a lot of lies. And yeah. In the 90s, the Birdcage made it work anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So just add one more lie where they give them the different last name. Fuck it.
Coleman.
Yeah.
It's like a cultural attaché. Diane Wiest. She's the reason for that film.
I agree. That film is great. Do you have another conspiracy theory?
Oh.
If you don't, that's fine. I got a couple.
I don't, but I'm going to riff off of anything you say because I am a what? Yes, ander.
Hell yeah. All right. I got another one.
Go.
So, dear Evan Hansen.
Heard of it.
After the musical is over, he mm-hmm. becomes a truck driver. Neither happy or unhappy, but he sure does love trucks.
So he... So he goes from loving trees to loving trucks?
Yes.
Question, is it a landscaping tree truck?
You know what? It is officially a landscaping tree or truck.
Wow.
That just happened.
Y'all, I'm on 3 hours of sleep. Everything's fine. Interesting. Why? Okay, so he's not happy. He's not sad. What is he just popping Klonopin and like driving this truck and
yep.
like trimming azaleas?
Yep. No, he doesn't even get out. He has no connections. He just listens to podcasts all day.
I feel like he's just one of Pac-Man's ghosts.
At that point, he realizes if he talks to people, bad things happen.
Y'all.
Best to keep to himself at this point.
Does he ever see a hairdresser to get his wig fixed?
Yes. He lost his hair at age 26, so he just started buzzing it.
Alopecia.
He looks really scary at this point, honestly. He still wears the blue button-up, which is really not good.
Oh.
He sticks to that look.
Does he grab scoops at a la mode through the drive-thru?
He tries, but it's still closed down. They never reopened it.
Oh my god. Yep, great. Sold. I don't while singing a pop rock score, sure.
He's just leaving through a window. He's like always looking out windows at this point.
And aren't we all, honestly? That's just life reflecting back to us.
All right. Do you want another one?
Yes.
All right. None of the dads are Sophie's real dad in Mamma Mia.
Wow!
She just didn't write about the real one in the journal.
That caught me. Wow. Yes. Okay. So we don't have a 23andMe situation, is what I'm hearing.
Well, Sophie never wants to find out, so I doubt she would do it. But she's under the assumption at least one of them are. But she's wrong. None of them are.
Wait,
it's a random fourth party.
Right. What I'm hearing is you're saying that Donna Sheridan, after brushing her hair while singing Slipping Through My Fingers all the time, didn't take some of those hair follicles, drop them in a Ziploc bag, and send them off 23andMe style to figure out who the fuck the father is?
Well, you would need the samples from the dads
yes,
at that point.
And they're all like, sure, I bleed. Right?
If there's like a musical where she's trying to get like samples from them and then in the end she seduces all three of them again?
Did you just write Mamma Mia 3?
I want this.
Wow.
I want this now. where she's like, I'm sick of not knowing. Oh, Sophie needs a kidney, but Sophie still doesn't want to know who the dad is. So Donna's like,
full 30 Rock style. Clay Aiken shows up to sing Kidney Now. My nipples are so hard right now from this idea. This is very good. Yes. Yes.
And ABBA's doing a new album. We have plenty of music to choose from.
They've run out of music, and so there's just singing from Chess. Christine Baranski sings Nobody's Thighed. She just lisps her way through that. I'm sold. Done. Sword.
I'm into this. Okay.
Good. Okay.
But then the twist is there's a fourth dad, and they have to track down the fourth dad. That's...
What if Mamma Mia traveled?
Out of Greece? How could you suggest such a thing?
Well, I feel like the gays are done with Greece this year, so they're not dancing along the... because of COVID.
They're going to the Bronx, baby!
Mamma Mia 3, the Bronx baby. Put it on a t-shirt.
Benny and Bjorn insist this is where the story goes.
They just felt for the text. The Bronx was really the next place. Not their home of Sweden.
No, it is the Bronx.
They said... I like that Bobby Conti Thornton. I saw Bronx Tale. That's where we're going.
Anything can happen in the Bronx.
Can I kiss you? Yep. Put it on a t-shirt.
All right. I think I've got two more.
Holy shit. You went all out.
I wrote these 10 minutes before we recorded.
God bless you. Okay.
Okay, this one I feel like the entire world agrees with me on. I thought about not even bringing it up, but we gotta say it.
Okay.
Elfie and Galinda definitely experimented with one another well.
They lesed 24/7 for about 3 weeks.
Scissor me tinders.
Yeah, wow. There, it was a choice. Pink did go good with green, turns out.
Yep.
Listen, there's a time and a place for everything, and it's called college.
Yes.
That's just life advice for the Musicals with Cheese audience right there.
If you're going to experiment in college. If you want to find out if your roommate's pussy is green, go at it.
Live your truth. Live your truth. Take the hat off. Scissor it up.
But it was really awkward when they both said Fiero's name.
Which is funny because Sierra! Because Fiero definitely was boning Dr. Dillman for a minute. He was like, I want to get freaky with the goat.
Now that I think about it, can we put a pause here? We need to talk about something dumb.
Too late.
So, in the theory of Wicked, Bach is the Tin Man and Fiero is the Scarecrow.
Yes.
These guys went to college together. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them said shit.
So, here's what I would say. They were not in the same circle. And so Bach was just like fully living inside of Nessa Rose, right? Like, what do you need? I got it. I can push your chair, whatever. Like, truly, nobody paid attention to Bach, right?
I agree.
Fiero has been in and out of 17 colleges. Also, side note for this film. Just how long of a gap year does Elphaba take between high school and college?
What do you mean? Because she's 34?
So old.
I mean... All right, we're going to talk about this, I guess. It doesn't bother me as much here because it isn't a musical about college or being a kid or all that. It's a story where characters have to age to be in their midlife.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more okay with someone being a little older.
But Jesse.
Yeah.
Cynthia? Next to Ariana, who truly looks 12 still. Like a weird brat style 12, but still 12, right? But they're in the same class.
One of them's green. I feel like that's going to take a lot of my brain power to overcome rather than being like, oh, that green girl's a little older, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm just saying that's a long gap year because also Nessa is there the same year.
I'd say she had, let's say, a 3-year gap.
Interesting.
Because I don't quite know how long a gap is between Nessa and Elphaba.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Nessa's first year. And I feel like they're like Cinderella-ing Elphaba in the corner until Nessa can go and have her to take care of her.
And do we think that Madame Horrible and the wizard fuck?
No.
Interesting.
It's Joel Grey.
Not my wizard.
Who's your wizard dream cast?
Actually, the best wizard I saw on Broadway was Kevin Chamberlain.
Nah, that works. That tracks.
He got laughs where nobody gets laughs. He was excellent.
He's very funny.
I saw it a couple of times when JV was in the show. And she had a couple different wizards, but for me, Kevin was tops. I saw Ben Vereen at some point, I feel like, with Rue McClanahan. Yeah, they got freaky.
My pick would be, I want Keith David as the wizard of the movie. Come on, just give that to me.
Oh, so wait, so casting the film, because
yes.
They haven't cast a Morrible or a wizard yet.
Yes.
Keith David, interesting.
Because I want someone that has like that like magician flair, that kind of huckster thing. And I want them to racially be able to create a Cynthia Erivo.
Sure. A green Cynthia Erivo?
Doesn't matter. I want her entire family to be people of color.
Got
in
it.
In my casting.
I'm fully there. Understood. Got it. Honestly, my only hope is that they cut the wizard songs from the film because they're pretty terrible.
I'd say if you get a good performer, they can work. I would definitely cut Sentimental Man because nobody likes that song.
It's too
Wonderful
long.
Is fun.
Sure. But Joel Grey turned both of those into Bhutan Death Marches.
Yes,
that
he
they
did.
They were so long. Like, I had an advent calendar I was opening and he was still going.
I just know my co-host Andrew said those are the best songs on the show because there's a running gag with our podcast where Andrew will notoriously think the best songs are the songs that everyone hates collectively. His favorite song in Jesus Christ Superstar is Herod's song. So,
Well, sure. And is he wrong?
Yes.
Sure. Andrew, I'm so sorry you couldn't be bothered. And so what I'm saying is the wizard does not have good songs.
You are correct.
Thank you.
Before we move on, have you guys seen that petition going around to keep James Gordon out of Wicked?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
It's fascinating, right? I feel like sometimes he's fine. I didn't hate him in Into the Woods.
He's not the problem in Into the Woods at all.
Well, no. There's many problems. He was one of them. But, like, I feel like more it's the overexposure of James Corden.
Yes.
And, like, we're fine. Do you feel like he's like, I'm being bullied?
Yes.
These people are bullying me.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I just want to say classically trained accent work. Thank you so much. I went to the...
It was like he was in the room with us,
I really wanted to die. School of dramatic tricks. Yeah, that petition's also because, like, I'm pretty sure somebody was like, you know what would be funny? If we just did, like, Kevin Zach was like, what if I just did, like, a little graphic of a keep James Corden out change.org petition, and then somebody was like, yes, and... I'm going to actually make it. I'd say poor James Corden, but he's got more money than me, so he's fine.
Yes. The problem is, they don't pick the other obvious choice, who would be a much better wizard, on the same channel, so they'd get all the same like amount of resources to promote it. And it's
Colbert.
A Sondheim baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Colbert. He would
be excellent.
A great wizard.
Mm-hmm.
A better Dillamond, even.
Yeah. Listen, that's all I have left career-wise. Why would you take that from me? They're casting Seymours with six packs. I got nothing left.
Oh, I'm with you there. I agree wholeheartedly about the Seymour thing. I was in high school and they gave it to the hot kid and I'm just sitting here with my character actor energy over here playing the dentist and I'm like, man, I get only three roles.
I just like, look at me. I'm a dork. Just all I want to do is sing Suddenly Seymour with like a belter lady. It's fine. Am I better? Again, yes. Stephen Colbert would be great. Also, Steve Carell would be great.
Steve Carell would be very good.
Mm-hmm. Just
wouldn't be my choice, but definitely would do the work.
He would make
work.
Choices.
Yeah. Not James Franco, though. He did that already, and he was bad. When Disney tried to do Wicked. Remember that?
I blocked it out. Why would you bring that back?
What can I say except you're welcome?
Yikes.
I got one last one, and this is my very last
Hit me.
One.
Yes.
All right. And this is how we're going to end it on. I wish I had saved the Evan Hansen driving a car one for this
God,
one.
That was fucking good.
In Chicago, Roxy and Velma eventually kill each other. After years of spy versus spy-like antics of trying to kill one another, it takes about 40 years.
Like a full Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote situation between them, where they're just dropping Acme anvils on each other.
Exactly.
How do they die?
They both get guns, but they shoot at the flags, but they poke each other in the brain.
I'm seeing it.
Actually, I'm changing it. You know when they like shoot the guns and it like blows up the bulbs during their final number? Mm-hmm. They just accidentally load it with real guns and they shoot each other.
Wow.
So they die on stage performing.
So doing what they love.
Yes. And hating each other.
Well, I love that you just gave a Chicago a happy ending. That's beautiful.
Yeah. But they're like in their 80s, so it's like Gwen Verdon actually performing it.
Truly, just like, Roxy, I hate you. But then she shoots the gun. That was not the machine gun. That was her clearing her throat. Beautiful.
It was like when Verdon was back again.
Well, did she ever leave? That's
no, she just reincarnated it into Tommy Kail's baby mama.
Tommy.
I was hoping that would get a laugh out of you.
Unwell. I'm unwell.
But that's our conspiracy theories. Yay. Do you agree with us?
Listen. Also, every musical is better with Muppets.
I agree.
Into the Woods should have been made with Muppets.
Passion should have been made with Muppets.
Well, fucking Muppets. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Epistolary fucking Muppets. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I do not dream to think.
Wait, but are we saying Piggy is Fosca or is Gonzo Fosca?
No, Piggy's Fosca. Gonzo is definitely the doctor, Thomas Aldridge doctor.
You feel... Okay, so who's Clara? Janice? Or is she the one human?
Because I was going to put Kermit as Giorgio.
Duh.
But maybe that... Maybe not. Maybe that should be the one human in the world of Muppets.
Well, listen, Patreon subscribers.
Yes.
Write in and tell us... Who the human is in...
Kermit should be the cousin that he tries to kill him at the end.
Uh-huh. The general?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the duel.
Yeah.
And it's just like a flailing arm. Listen, Patreon listeners, write in who you think the human is in the in the Muppet passion.
And who's the celebrity going to play it? Is it Queen Latifah?
Is it James Corden?
Oh my god, I'm so happy to be here.
Bang. Right?
Oh, I'm dead.
Ouch. Ouch.
Robbie, you do so many wonderful things on the internet. Promote your stuff for the world to hear.
Friends, I'm so highly findable. I'm at Diva Robbie on all platforms, which was my AOL screen name when I was 16 years old. And
now it's a brand.
That's truly, it's a cautionary fable in branding. To just choose your name well, because it will stay forever. But I am findable there. I have a very good semi-hit album called Songs from Inside My Locker that you can stream. And
fantastic album.
Oh, thanks.
Listen to it all the time.
I'm proud of it. If you are in New York, I turn 45 this month, which means that my birthday was a bicentennial. That's right. They issued a special quarter for me. And I am headlining Birdland for the first time November 29th at 7 p.m. at Birdland. You can get tickets in the... When you find me, I have a link tree. We all have link trees, right?
Yeah.
So, just, you know. And if you don't live in the area, stream my album on my birthday. That'd be nice.
I know I will.
Daddy likes that sweet, sweet 12 cents from a Spotify 100 plays.
I think I actually bought the album. Like, I think
friend?
I like was... Yeah, because I remember it coming out and I was like, yeah, it was in the middle of the pandemic. And
it
I was
sure
like,
was.
You know what? I'm going to buy this album.
We released it in June of the pandemic Lovato. Choices.
So good.
Thank you, friend.
So good album. Any album that ends with a change in me, like, you
right?
got to love it.
From Whorehouse Goes Public, because I love me a floppity flop, 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 and they don't get much bigger.
Such a good album.
Thanks.
A lot of songs you don't often hear on other things. They're not pulling out the gerb. None of the gerbs.
No, there is a. I do sing a snatch of Waving Through a Window for the kids.
Yes, and a great medley that was very funny.
Of roles that I got too fucking old to play.
I don't know. Technically, you're not too old to play Evan Hansen, apparently.
That's true. At the Muni.
on the cinema screen.
Oh, you're correct.
All right, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. But we'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Waving through a truck window.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.